Welcome to day 192 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we are going to be reading the first five chapters of the book of Amos, and we will be reading from the Amplified Bible. Just as a few words of introduction would be appropriate before we begin this new book, I simply want to say just a few biographical items about Amos and the time in which this minor prophet, as he's referred to, lived and fulfilled his ministry. Amos was a contemporary of the prophet Hosea, and the two of them, Amos and Hosea, who we will hear about next week when we begin reading in the book of Hosea, these two were prophets that were sent to the northern kingdom of Israel at the same time that Isaiah and also the prophet Micah were called and commissioned to speak the word of the Lord to the southern kingdom of Judah. Amos was not a prophet, so to speak, or a son of a prophet, or even one that had gone to the school of the prophets, as many had done in the times of Elijah and Elisha, but instead he was a shepherd, and he was called while he was doing his work as a shepherd. And his message is very clearly throughout all of the nine chapters of the book of Amos. It is a message of judgment, God's judgment against rebellious people who refuse to turn their lives, their hearts, and their devotion to the Lord. First, we will hear him speak the proclamation and declaration of judgment against all the surrounding nations that are encompass Israel. So you could say he was clever in the sense of he starts out with their enemies and says why God is going to judge them. And then he finally gets down to Israel and why God's judgment is going to fall upon Israel and that they are going to go into captivity. And this is not a message that is welcomed by the king at that time. He was prophesying during the reign of Jeroboam II, who was a wicked king who was unfaithful to the Lord. So we will begin our reading today in Amos chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen and sheepmasters of Tekoa, which he saw in divine revelation concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah king of Judah and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars out of Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. Then the pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Mount Carmel dries up. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, the capital of Syria, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because they have threshed Gilead east of the Jordan River with iron sledges. So I will send a fire of war, conquest, and destruction upon the house of Hazael, who killed and succeeded King Ben-Hadad, which shall devour the palaces and strongholds of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of the gate of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven or On, and him who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, and the people of Syria conquered by the Assyrians shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, a city of Philistia, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because as slave traders they carried away captive the whole Jewish population of defenseless Judean border villages, of which none was spared, none left behind, and delivered them up to Edom for the slave trade. So I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its strongholds. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and him who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the rest of the Philistines in Gath, and the towns dependent on these four Philistine cities shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because they, as middlemen, delivered up a whole Jewish population to Edom and did not seriously remember their brotherly covenant. So I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its strongholds. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, descendants of Esau, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because he pursued his brother Jacob, Israel, with the sword, corrupting his compassions and casting off all pity, and his anger tore perpetually, and his wrath he kept and heated forever. So I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the strongholds of Bozrah in Edom. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, descendants of Lot, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because the Ammonites have ripped up women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. So I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah in Ammon, and it shall devour the strongholds of it, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into exile, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Chapter 2. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, descendants of Lot, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom, Esau's descendant, into lime. So I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the strongholds of Kerioth, and Moab shall die amid uproar and shouting and the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the ruler from its midst, and will slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it or revoke my word concerning it, because they have despised and rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. But their lies, after which their fathers have walked, caused them to err and go astray. So I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, for multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse the punishment of it, or revoke my word concerning it, because they have sold the strictly just and uncompromisingly righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. They pant after the sight of the poor, reduced to such misery that they will be throwing dust of the earth on their heads in token of their grief. And they defraud and turn aside the humble, who are too meek to defend themselves. And a man and his father will have sexual relations with the same maiden, so that my holy name is profaned. And they lay themselves down besides every pagan altar, upon clothes that have been taken in pledge for indebtedness, and in the house of their God, in daring contempt of him. They frivolously drink the wine which has been exacted from those unjustly fined. Yet I destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up some of your sons for prophets and some of your young men for dedicated ones, Nazarites. Is this not true, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the dedicated ones, the Nazarites, wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you, and I will press you down in your place as a cart presses that is full of sheaves. And a flight shall be lost to the swift, and refuge shall fail him. The strong shall not retain and confirm his strength, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand who handles the bow. And he who is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he who rides the horse deliver his life. And he who is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked on that day, says the Lord. Chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I known, chosen, sympathized with, and loved of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will visit upon you all your wickedness and punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no trap for him? Does a trap spring up from the ground when nothing at all has sprung it? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be alarmed and afraid? Shall misfortune or evil occur as punishment and the Lord has not caused it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish to the strongholds in Ashdod, Philistia, and to the strongholds in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold what great tumults, confusion, and disorder are in her, and what oppressions are in the midst of her. For they know not how to do right, says the Lord, they who store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. Therefore thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land, and he shall bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as the shepherd rescues out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear of a sheep, so shall the children of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and part of the damask covering of a bed. Hear and bear witness in the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in that day when I visit Israel's transgressions upon him, I will also visit with punishment the altars of Bethel with its golden calf, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the many and great houses shall come to an end, says the Lord. Chapter 4. Hear this word, you cows, women of Bashan, who are in the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to their husbands, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days shall come upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks, and you shall go out through the breaches made in the city wall, every woman straight before her, and you shall be cast forth into Harmon, an unknown place of exile, says the Lord. Come to Bethel, where the golden calf is, and transgress. At Gilgal, another idol worship center, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 days. and offer by burning a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened, and proclaim and publish free will offerings. For this you like to do, O children of Israel, says the Lord. I also gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. And also I withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece of ground was rained upon, and the piece upon which it did not rain withered. So the people of two or three cities wandered and staggered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I smote you with blight from the poisonous east wind and with mildew. I laid waste the multitude of your gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees. The palmer worm, a form of locust, devoured. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence, which I made epidemic in Egypt. Your young men I slew with the sword, and I took into exile your horses, and I made the stench of your camp come up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some among you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Chapter 5. Hear this word which I take up concerning you in lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She shall no more rise. She lies cast down and forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went forth 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me, inquire for and of me, and require me as you require food, and you shall live. But seek not the golden calf at Bethel, nor enter into idolatrous Gilgal, and pass not over to the idols of Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity and exile, and Bethel, house of God, shall become Beth Aven, house of vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and come to nothing. Seek the Lord, inquire for and of him, and require him, and you shall live, lest he rush down like fire upon the house of Joseph, representing the 10 tribes, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel, the center of their idle hopes. You who turn justice into the bitterness of wormwood, and cast righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God down to the ground, seek him who made the cluster of stars called Pleiades and the constellation Orion, who turns the shadow of death or deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, who causes sudden destruction to flash forth upon the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the city gate, holding him as an abomination and rejecting his rebuke, and they abhor him who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread upon the poor and take from him exactions of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For For I know how manifold are your transgressions and how mighty are your sins. You who afflict the uncompromisingly righteous, who take a bribe and who turn aside the needy in the court of the city gate from their right. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silence in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek, inquire for, and require good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish justice in the court of the city's gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, the northern kingdom. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, there shall be wailing in all the broad ways, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. And they shall call the farmers to mourning, and such as are skilled in lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. It is as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Even very dark with no brightness in it. I hate, I despise your feasts, and I will not smell a savor or take delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me your burnt offerings and your cereal offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I look upon the peace or thank offerings of your fatted beasts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice run down like waters, and righteousness as a mighty and ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and cereal offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No, but instead of bringing me the appointed sacrifices, you carried about the tent of your king Succoth and Kaiwan, names for the gods of the planet Saturn, your images of your star god which you made for yourselves, and you will do so again. Therefore, I will cause you to go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. This is the end of today's scripture reading. The book of Amos, as I said earlier, is really a book of the prophet speaking to both the people of Israel and to the other surrounding nations that they have not been in agreement and in obedience to God. And so today, I want to focus on one verse that we heard today, and that is Amos 3, verse 3. This verse in the King James Version reads very simply, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Or the New International Version reads this way, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" And then today we heard from the Amplified Translation, which reads, "Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed?" And this beautiful but very simple rhetorical question is simply pointing out the fact that the listeners, which were the people of Israel, have not been in agreement with God. Therefore, they have not walked together with God. Therefore, their lives don't reflect any intervention of God or any honor of God by the people. And so I want to talk to you today about this very important question. Can two people walk together without being in agreement? In other words, are we walking with God and thereby being in agreement with God in our lives? This is a really important question for every believer. Sometimes it seems like we're walking closer to God than at other times. And that has everything to do with our own pursuit of the Lord and our desire to know His will and our pursuit of being in the middle of God's will. I really love this question of Amos 3:3. The New Living Translation says it this way: can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? You know, God has a direction for every person's life, every person on the entire earth, whether they know it or not. And God is asking the question of us: can I walk with you? Are we going to agree on the direction? Or are you going to go off in your own direction and I have a path for you that you're not even close to? God wants us to be in agreement with God for our own lives. I want you to think about how God gets things done in the earth. He has people who are in agreement with Him, and through them He is able to accomplish the plan that He has. He finds someone to come into agreement with Him. I believe, if you're listening to my Everyday Bible, that you want to be one of those people who are in agreement with God and walk in the same path that God intends for you to walk, that you walk together with God because you've made an appointment and have agreed on the direction. That's the kind of person I want to be, and I believe it's the kind of person you want to be. And we need to take a look at the Word of God to see how we can maintain agreement with the Lord and how sometimes we may be out of agreement with God and not realize it. But first, let me just give you a few examples of people in the Bible who came into agreement with God and what God was able to do through them. First one that comes to mind from the book of Genesis is Noah. He agreed with God to build an ark to save a remnant of people so God could repopulate the earth after the flood. Even though he faced ridicule from the society he lived in, he decided to agree with God. And the scripture bears out Amos's word about how can two people walk together without being in agreement, because Genesis 6:9 tells us Noah walked with God. And we know he agreed to build that ark. Think about Moses. He agreed to return to Egypt to confront Pharaoh and demand release of the Israelites. And God was able to use Moses to be a great deliverer for the people of Israel. And he had to overcome feelings of inadequacy and fear of being killed to be in agreement with God about God's purpose and plan. Think about Joshua. He agreed to lead the Israelites into the promised land, even though he knew he had to face giants and all kinds of enemies. And what a great victory Joshua was able to see because he came into agreement with God for his purpose and plan. And then we have some of my favorites: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They agreed to be God's outspoken representatives while serving in the ungodly government of an ungodly king and an ungodly culture, regardless of what it might cost them. Daniel faced the lion's den because he was in agreement with God to only speak the truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace because they were in absolute agreement with God not to bow down to idols. And then in the New Testament, the beautiful example of Mary. She agreed to become the bearer of the Messiah, though she had to be willing to face the shame of the appearance of being pregnant out of wedlock in a culture where that was absolutely unacceptable. So those were people that came into agreement with God, and therefore God was able to use them in His plan so magnificently. And I believe God wants to do that with you. He has a plan for you, a path for you, a purpose for you. But the key is you have to be in agreement with God and walk with God so that God can fulfill that purpose in your life. I just want to point out a few ways that we can be out of agreement with God and maybe not realize it. Because we can often say with our minds, I agree with God. I want to be God's man. I want to be God's woman. I want to do God's will. And yet we can be not walking with the Lord or out of step with the Lord. For example, let's say God has prompted you to change what you do with your time, your money, your relationships, your physical body, your health, and you have not yielded to that prompting. Then you're out of agreement with God. Or God has asked you to do a specific thing and you have argued with God about it or put it off. Example, God's told you to write a book and you can't imagine how you can do that or when you'd have the time or anything. You're not in agreement with God when you argue about not being able to do something God has said. When He tells us to do something, He will give us the grace and the ability and the supernatural resources we need to do that thing. I'm sure Noah must have thought, how can I build a huge boat that will carry animals? I mean, the whole thing was with hand tools. How am I going to do that? I've never built a boat in my life. He must have had those thoughts cross his mind, yet he was determined to stay in agreement with God. And he worked on it and he worked on it. And with the grace of God and the help of God, he saw that come to pass. It's the same for us today when God asks us to do something. Perhaps God is leading you in a new direction. But your focus, when you think about that new direction, is on the risks of potential failure or loss of what you have right now. Or lack of finances to do this thing that requires you to move in a new direction. If your focus is on that, you'll be immobilized. You won't be able to walk on the path with God because you're not in agreement with God, because your mind is fighting it with how it's not going to work. And last of all, I'll give you another example of how we can be out of agreement with God and not realize it. Perhaps a long time ago, maybe years ago, you received a prophetic word, a rhema word personally. God spoke something to your heart, and it has not yet come to pass. And you've essentially given up on it, or you've ceased to fight for it or contend for it in the spirit. And the longer the time passes without manifestation of that promise, the easier it is to let that word go, assuming it must not have really been from the Lord or God changed his mind or some other reasoning that the devil himself will be happy to introduce to your mind. I believe that the Lord wants you to stay in agreement with whatever it is that he told you, even if it's been years ago, even if it was a calling in your life that maybe time went by and life got in the way, so to speak. Things happened, and now it looks like it's impossible for that ever to come to pass in your life. I believe God wants you to stay in agreement and contend in the spirit for that word to come to pass. Even if it looks like you're too old, it's been too long, you've been out of school too long, or whatever the excuse may be, or the seeming obstacle may be, I believe the Lord wants you to stay in agreement with whatever word that God gave to you. He can do a sign and a wonder in your life by bringing to pass something that he told you as a young person. Maybe now you're in middle age or even retirement age, and it looks like you'll never be the missionary to Africa or whatever it is that you felt like God wanted you to do. You know, God can still do that. But you have to stay in agreement with God. You can't speak against it. You can't say it'll never happen. You can't say I'm afraid to try it. You have to repent for any unbelief, meaning you gave up. You don't believe it'll happen? Pray, pray to the Lord and say, God, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for not trusting you for that thing. Forgive me for giving up on it. Forgive me for being afraid to believe you for it. If you will do that and you'll break off those agreements with the spirit of fear or unbelief, and you'll step back into agreement with God for the thing that's on your heart or the thing that God has spoken to you about even years ago, I believe God will supernaturally assist you in and stepping back into his perfect will and on the path to where God can do this mighty and a wonderful thing for you. But you have to stay in agreement. Do two walk together except they have agreed on the direction? God wants you to be a person that's in agreement with God so he can do signs and wonders and miracles through your life, so he can make you a blessing to many, many people. Think about it. God, when he decides something and he has an assignment for someone, it's always to be a blessing to more people than just ourselves, because God's plan is always so much bigger than just ourselves. Human nature always focuses on self, but God's always thinking about how to bless multitudes. Think about our friend Jonah that we just read about last week, and Jonah was focused on himself. He didn't want to speak the word God had him speak because he didn't want to look like a false prophet when God forgave the people and didn't bring the judgment that he was supposed to prophesy about. He was thinking about himself, and he was thinking about his country having to deal with these Assyrians again if God didn't destroy them. He was very selfishly focused. But God's plan with Jonah's word to the city of Nineveh was to bless an entire city of more than 120,000 people with salvation. God always thinks big. God's always thinking about blessing many through the obedience of one person. God wants to bless many through your obedience, but you have to be in agreement with God. Go to the Lord with whatever it is you know God's speaking to you about right now. And if you have given up on it, you've stopped hoping, you've stopped praying, you've stopped believing for it, ask the Lord to forgive you. And say, Lord, I desire to get back into agreement with you for that thing, and I will believe until the day I see it come to pass. And God will be able to bless you because he wants to walk together with you and bring you into the fullness of the destiny for which he created you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God wants you to be in agreement with him. God bless you and give you a victorious week.